Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. Happy Monday to you all. It is August 19th, 2019. Another week. Another week of summer here in mid-Michigan. Gotta love it. As we wind down the days to, of course, the start of college football, Michigan State football, beginning on August 30th. Next week, Friday. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That's when Michigan State football will get its season underway, hosting Tulsa at Spartan Stadium. So throughout these next couple of weeks, of course, we will have plenty of Michigan State college football talk, plenty of college football talk in general, all right, as we are just a week away from college football starting. That's crazy to me. I still can't believe it. Every time I think about, you know, that date being so close, it just blows my mind. So a lot to get to on today's current sports, because a lot happened over the weekend. You know, I want to dive into the Detroit Lions preseason game against the Houston Texans. There's some chatter surrounded around that game because a lot of people are out there are wondering whether or not there's something more serious that we should be concerned about, seeing as though Matthew Stafford did not suit up for another NFL meaningless preseason game. I want to address that. I also have some takeaways from what I saw from that game. No, I did not sit on my couch and like watch play by play by play of that Houston Texans and Detroit Lions game. I watched some of the highlights and saw, you know, some of the also some of the game, like the replay that they do, that they rebroadcast on Fox Sports Detroit. And there were some names that stood out. So I'll give you my takeaways from what I saw in that Detroit Lions and Houston Texans game, and bring to you a few names that I'm like, all right, you know, maybe we'll see some things from him or him. All right. So we'll get to that. Also, I'll briefly touch on the Cormier and Miocic fight. I did watch it. I kind of, you know, I don't know what it was, man. I was so tired, I guess, later on that Saturday night, because my stepdad and one of my childhood friends, Marcel, they surprised me on Saturday and drove up, and we played a round of golf and even played some basketball outdoors later on that day as well. I don't know. I guess I was really, really drained. So when I sat down, got me some wings, sat down to watch, you know, UFC on ESPN Plus, and like as soon as I watched the Nate Diaz fight, Diaz looks great, by the way. My goodness, he looked fantastic Saturday night. But when Cormier and Miocic, When they got into the octagon, you know, I watched half of it. I missed a knockout, though. The fight watched me. We got Jack Kerwin behind the glass engineering today's current sports. I was so embarrassed, Jack. When I woke up, I was watching Joe Rogan and the boys, like, break down the highlights. And I'm like, whoa, what, Cormier got knocked out in the fourth round? So, yeah, I'll have some thoughts on that, though. Later on this hour, it was entertaining, man. And Miocic, you know, like we had Ron DeLeon, local fight promoter, on the show last week. And Ron made the point that even though Cormier had won that first fight against Miocic, yo, Miocic was in control in the early parts of that fight. and got caught, you know, and you can't get caught by Cormier because he's got a lot of power in that fist of his, man. So I have some brief thoughts on that as well. And also, Meet the Spartans is today. We'll talk some college football and, you know, give you an update on what you can expect from Meet the Spartans today. And I also want to talk about, you know, Michigan State's preseason rankings, which may surprise some. All right, so a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below the live stream. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Folks, and you know, I want to note this because Jack chimed in my ear and said, actually, Al, college football officially starts this week. And he is very, very right because I totally forgot. You know, there is a game that usually starts like before the big, big weekend where most of college football plays. But this Saturday, you will get a chance to see, I believe it's Miami and Florida on Saturday out in Orlando. So, yeah, I forgot that they do that. I totally forgot that they do that, Jack. So thank you to Jack Kerwin.
A new thing this year? I don't know. I don't really remember this, to be honest with you.
I thought they've been doing it for like the last few years. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
Maybe you're right, though, because I did ask you if the game was Thursday or Friday, and you said it's going to be Saturday.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
I do believe they open up, you know, like the first college football game of the year is usually on a Thursday, which it will be, well, I should say the second. And third and fourth and fifth.
There are four games on Thursday.
They open up on a Thursday now. So next week, Thursday, you'll have Florida A&M and UCF, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Texas State and Texas A&M, and then Utah and BYU. They all play next week, Thursday, to open up college football.
Do you think the spread is going to be on that Clemson-Georgia Tech game? Like Clemson minus 62.5?
Well, I actually have it right now. Of the Clemson and Georgia Tech game.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
The line is for Clemson, of course.
Yeah.
At 35.5 right now.
I would still take Clemson to cover that at home fairly easily.
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally with you on that. And the over-under is set at 59.5 right now.
So Clemson scores 56 of those points.
Exactly.
And Georgia Tech gets to 3.
Right. And there we are.
Exactly. I think that's going to be a molly-whopping. So, yeah, but yeah, okay. So Saturday. Yeah, this Saturday, Miami and Florida to whet your college football appetite. All right. And for Spartans out there who want to whet their college football appetite, you, of course, can check out Meet the Spartans today, the 17th annual Meet the Spartans today. That event will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. inside of Spartan Stadium as 13-year Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio and players of the 2019 football team will be made available for autographs on the concourse inside the stadium. The format is similar to last year, as offensive players will be available for autographs from around 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. and defensive players from around 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Coach D will be available for autographs for an hour from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. as well on the north end of the stadium in the Engagement Center. That's between gates J and K. Autograph stations will be positioned on the east, west, and north concourses inside of Spartan Stadium. All right. So again, from 5 to 8 p.m., Meet the Spartans at Spartan Stadium, a really, really cool event. I'll dive more into that later on this hour. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions played in game two of the NFL preseason as the Texans came out with that win, a 30-23 win for Houston as Detroit is now 0-2. It's the preseason, so it means nothing. But the Lions are 0-2 in the preseason, and they will now host the Buffalo Bills on Friday. All right, the Oakland Raiders. Oh, the drama continues when it comes to the Oakland Raiders, specifically as it pertains to star wide receiver Antonio Brown. Now, I did hear today that Antonio Brown, he showed up to practice today. Now, I say showed up. I used showed up very lightly because the Oakland Raiders didn't suit up in helmets and pads today and play. They just had team meetings. AB was in the building for that. But this whole helmet thing, this whole helmet saga continues. Just 24 hours after participating in the Raiders walkthrough, Antonio Brown did not attend Oakland's workout in California last week. Now, GM Mike Mayock, he delivered a stern message forward, which the team issued itself on Twitter regarding Brown's absence. This is what Mayock had to say. Quote, "You all know that AB is not here today, so here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that, okay? But at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out, okay? So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a part of it. Starting week one against Denver. End of story. No questions. Okay. Just wanted you guys to know where we are." So again, Oakland Raiders GM Mike Mayock addressing what's happening with Antonio Brown. It's just drama, drama, drama. I have more briefly on that story later on this
hour. Wait, hang on. Do you remember that show we did several months ago when Antonio Brown was a free agent? And you and I debated whether or not the Lions should bring in Antonio Brown. And you said, well, why shouldn't they bring in Antonio Brown? He'd be a great addition.
Because from that perspective, it's like, what do you got? You're the Lions. You have nothing to lose right now.
I think they would have had a lot to lose by having this situation in their locker room.
When you're the Detroit Lions, you have nothing to lose, Jack. Literally nothing to lose. The Oakland Raiders come in with a lot of expectation. John Gruden's
the head coach. They were terrible last year. They were worse than the Lions.
People expect the Oakland, especially with this whole move to Vegas now. John Gruden has to prove himself. He wants to prove himself.
Yeah, but he's not going to. Yeah, he's going to get fired after this year. It's been a disaster.
Jack, we all know there are a lot more expectations when you compare the Oakland Raiders to the
this season?
Lions. The Detroit Lions.
I don't think that's true this season.
Look at all of the preseason ranking. Well, preseason predictions. Yeah,
who predicts the Raiders to win more than five games, though?
People predict them to win more games than the Detroit Lions, I tell you that.
So does that mean it was a smart move for the Raiders to bring in Antonio Brown?
Yeah, he's a game changer. Just because of everything that's happening with this whole helmet situation. And again, I'm going to dive more into this later on this hour. Just because there's a lot of drama, he reminds you of me of T.O. I mean, high risk, but high reward if he's out there on the field. He comes with a lot of baggage. Yeah, he's a drama queen, just like a lot of the wide receivers, that great wide receivers we've seen in the past. But when he's out there, Jack, there is no denying he makes your team a lot better.
So you still think right now this is going to work out well for the Oakland Raiders signing Antonio Brown?
If he's out there on the field, yes, you will see what his greatness when he's out there on the field.
I think we need to make a bet on this as well.
Yeah, we may have. We
might have to make a bet
again,
on this.
Again, we'll dive more into this later. I got him. I got the Antonio Brown discussion scheduled for the back end of the show. All right, so we'll dive into that. We may have to do that. And the Detroit Tigers. Speaking of low expectations, man, the Detroit Tigers, they lost over the weekend in a weekend set against the Tampa Bay Rays, 2-1. The Tigers lost yesterday, 5-4. The starting pitching, I must say, for the Detroit Tigers, the starting pitching was pretty solid over the weekend, but that bullpen was horrible as they gave up yet another game last night. The Tigers sitting at 37-84 now. And really sad news here. Former Cleveland Cavaliers head coach David Blatt said that he has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Blatt, who is 60 years old, he said in a statement issued by his current organization, which is a Greek team, that he has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, quote, a few months ago, and has experienced fatigue, weakness in his legs, and also balance problems. This is what Blatt said in the letter, according to Euro Hoops. Quote, the fight is real and constant and non-ending, and there is no cure for the disease, but it is not lethal. There are many that have even greater challenges, and all must fight their own battles. All must have courage and determination and never give up attitudes to move forward and live life with the greatest quality possible. Forget the why in this case, end quote. So, really rooting for David Blatt there. That's some really tough news. But again, as he stated in that letter from Euro Hoops, you know, he's fighting this thing, and it's all about keeping your mental in the game. So, wishing David Blatt well. And really sad news here, as famed running back Cedric Benson, who soared to stardom as a Texas Longhorn legend, he sadly passed away on Saturday night at only the age of 36 years old. Can you believe that? Austin police said a minivan was trying to cross an intersection when it ran into a motorcycle. This is according to CNN affiliate KXAN. Both Benson and a woman were pronounced dead at the scene. Benson, he had rushed for over 1,000 yards in each of his four seasons at Texas and is the ninth leading rusher in college football history with a little over 5,500 yards. His 64 career rushing touchdowns are second in school history. He won the Doak Walker Award, which is given to the nation's top running back, after he rushed for 1,834 yards and 19 TDs. He also earned All-American honors in 2004. But again, Cedric Benson passing away at the age of 36 years old on Saturday, victim of a motorcycle accident. Life is too short, man. You just never know. Tomorrow is never, ever promised. And, you know, Jack, I had the conversation with my cousin, Remy. Yes, his name is Remy Martin. That's my guy, man. I talked with Remy last week, and he was like, Al, man, I'm thinking about getting a motorcycle, man. And we had a long conversation they're really dangerous, man. You have to be very, very careful. So shout out to all of our listeners out there who own a motorcycle, who ride, because, look, my dad has two of them, all right? And I grew up on the back of his, you know what I mean? And I know how fun they can be, but, you know, you just got to be so, so careful. And a lot of the time it's out of your hands. You know, there's a lot of drivers out there who just don't pay attention, who have, you know, no regard for anyone else on the road. And you could be doing everything right, but all it takes is just one moment, one knucklehead to make the wrong move. And, you know, some unfortunate situations happen. So thoughts and prayers out to Cedric Benson's family and friends and the entire Texas Longhorn community. That's really tough stuff. All right, to much less important matters. The L.A. Lakers are in need of a center following the ACL injury that DeMarcus Cousins suffered earlier this week, and they apparently have one in mind. Dwight Howard. Yeah, folks. Dwight Howard, one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most, okay, what's the word I'm looking for? One of the most, one of the players who had so much potential.
Bingo.
But you know what I mean? He has so much potential to be just one of the more dominant big men that we've ever seen in NBA history, but didn't live up to it because he just didn't care.
Like,
want to work at it.
He's like Andre Drummond, but 10 times more so. You know what I mean? Right. Like Dwight Howard, he comes into the league, everyone thinks he's going to take it over, and then he never got better.
Never got right? better, man.
Like kind of like Andre Drummond. When he was first on the Pistons, he had so much potential.
Exactly.
He's pretty much the same player now, like 7 years later.
Right.
You know?
Both physical specimens who are uber talented, but if they just work at the game, really take it serious, you could have really been something special. But Dwight Howard is just... he's Dwight Howard. So Howard in the Lakers. I guess the Lakers have some interest in him. And right now, Howard is a member of the Memphis Grizzlies, thanks to a recent trade. And fortunately for L.A., The Athletic is reporting that the Grizzlies have granted the Lakers permission to speak to the veteran big man, paving the way for a potential deal if the two sides can agree to terms. In addition to Howard, Joakim Noah, I can't believe he's still in the league. Man, he's been in the league for a long time. He's another veteran center that the Lakers could potentially target. That's interesting.
Do you remember how sick Joakim Noah was at Florida?
Oh, wasn't he so good?
He was so good.
He was so good in college. I just can't believe he's been in the league this long. He's been in the league for a long time now. I sometimes forget that Joakim Noah is still playing. And I also saw a few pieces out there addressing my Detroit Pistons possibly snagging Dwight Howard.
Like, wrong.
Why? Yeah, exactly. Like, why? Why would you?
Wrong.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, President Trump. All right. Tiger Woods. I forgot we're finishing up with Tiger Woods and what happened over the weekend. Tiger Woods, he did not have a great outing at the BMW Championship over the weekend. And he will not be at East Lake next week to defend the Tour Championship, where he returned to the winner's circle for the first time in 5 years as crazy galleries famously piled and filled in behind him on the 18th fairway. This is what Woods had to say. Quote, last year culminated in a pretty special moment for me that would have been nice to go back there, but I'll be watching the guys on TV, end quote. Upon reflection, 2018-19 season that ended for Woods with a final round even par 72 yesterday at the BMW Championship. He just couldn't break 70. Couldn't break 60, I should say. That left him with a smile on his face. You know, it didn't look like he was, you know, I watched some of the round over the weekend. Didn't look like he was in much pain, as was reported last week when he had to withdraw due to his back. But good that he had 4 rounds of healthy golf, but it just wasn't great. So this last year, though, a return to major championship glory at the majors, winning another green jacket. You know, that's something golf fans fear they may never again witness, like me. So I think that overrides any frustration with his consistency and reduced playing time as he manages his health. You know, we're all prisoners of the moment, and you guys know whenever I talk about a bad round for Tiger Woods, I get into a really dark state. But overall, good season for Tiger Woods. I'm looking forward to watching him next year. So when asked to evaluate this season, he said, quote, very special to win my 15th major and get my 5th jacket. All right, that does it for your quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving. I do want to also pass along some exciting news that I saw come across my inbox over the weekend. As Michigan State University wrestler Peyton Omanya, he claimed the bronze medal on Sunday at the Greco-Roman Junior World Championships out in Estonia. He becomes the first Spartan wrestler to earn a world medal since Franklin Gomez's silver medal at the 2011 World Championships out in Istanbul. I remember we had Franklin Gomez live here in studio after he accomplished that amazing feat. An outstanding young man. That was one of my favorite interviews, actually. He has so much. Franklin Gomez has so much personality. So Peyton Omanya, now accomplishing this feat, he joined teammate Cameron Caffey in the World Championships, which began last week, Friday, August 16th. So that is absolutely awesome stuff. If you follow Spartan Wrestling on Twitter at WrestlingMSU, you know, you can see a really cool photo of Peyton, you know, like flexing after his win and just in total excitement. And then you see him coming off the mat as the tweet reads, quote, we did it, with the strong arm emoji and the metal emoji, the bronze medal emoji. 2019 UWW Greco-Roman Junior World Championships bronze medalist. Way to go. You can follow Peyton on Twitter at P8IN _. And he's coming off the mat and hugging his coach. So awesome photo and an amazing, amazing accomplishment. Anytime you win a medal, at a world championship. That's just, I mean, that's kind of like pinch me kind of stuff there. All right. All right, folks, the Detroit Lions. Oh, how about those Lions? Now, again, it's preseason. It means nothing. Preseason football, I hate to say that it means nothing because, you know, what you get out of it, you do have a lot of players out there as rosters are trying to cut down to meet the 53-man limit when it comes to every team in the NFL around this time of the year. You know, coaches and GMs are paying close attention to maybe the diamonds in the rough. You know, those backups who are fighting for a job, fighting for an NFL job. So, you know, putting them in live game situations in NFL preseason gives you a pretty good evaluation of those kind of players. But again, it's preseason football, so you're not going to see a lot of starters out there on the gridiron. Again, it's going to be a lot of backups, and those are the players that are being primarily evaluated. So in no way, shape, or form is this an indication as to how one said team is going to perform once week one of the NFL regular season begins. I always go back to the 0-16 year when the Detroit Lions went, 4-0? 4-0, then they go 0-16 in the regular season. So as far as a fair evaluation of how a team is going to do the upcoming season, it means nothing in that regard, all right? So with that being said, I am a bit shocked that a lot of people are over-exaggerating, or I should say are overly sensitive to what you have not seen, the player you have not seen, who plays the most important position in football. He is the franchise quarterback, Matthew Stafford. A lot of people are like in panic mode, like, oh my goodness, there's got to be something more to this whole Matthew Stafford not playing in the preseason thing. You know, what if we don't see him in week three? Because like week three, people look at week three of the NFL preseason as kind of like a dress rehearsal for the team. You know, it's like that last time before you say, all right, we're benching all of our starters. You guys ride the bench. You're not playing in preseason week four. We don't need to see any more from you. So week three is like, all right, well, maybe we put him out there for a quarter or, I don't know, even a half. Let's throw our starters out there and see what happens. But I think that the Lions, folks, the Detroit Lions right now, when it comes to that quarterback position, they cannot afford to play Matthew Stafford. And I think the reason why, you know, Matt Patricia has decided not to play Matthew Stafford, I don't think he's going through some crazy injury that behind the scenes where, oh boy, Matthew Stafford, he can't play one down, you know, because of something that's going on behind the scenes. No, I don't think that's the case. I just think that the Lions are now incredibly, incredibly thin when it comes to the backups for Matthew Stafford. If something does happen, knock on wood, hopefully nothing happens to Matthew Stafford this upcoming year, but you just never know. I mean, heck, the guy played with a broken back last year, and every single season that offensive line is just giving up pressure, and Matthew Stafford is eating grass every single week, so you just never know what happens. So when it comes to the backups to Matthew Stafford, if he was to get hurt, I mean, Tom Savage is already going through this brain injury, you know, and then we saw, what is it, Josh Johnson? We saw him a lot. Now, he didn't play great, due to the fact that he just entered the Allen Park practice field last week. You know, he only had a few days of experience with this team, so that wasn't surprising. So Tom Savage is out, and then you bring in Josh Johnson, who didn't play great. Who else you got? You know, David Fales? You know, he did. Who improved from what I saw. He improved on his performance against New England, but that's a low bar. That's a really low bar. So it's, you know, if you don't have Matthew Stafford, if something happens to him, your season is down in the toilet before it even begins. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine if they were to play Matthew Stafford and that offensive line was to give up a sack that somehow, some way hurts Stafford and puts him out for some portion of the regular season? Can you just fathom the kind of backlash and criticism that head coach Matt Patricia and his coaching staff will deservingly get? I mean, come on, man. You can't risk that. You can't risk that. And this is the big reason for me. And I think that You know, when it comes to Matthew Stafford, this is becoming like the new trend in the National Football League, right? These whole joint practices. Let's link up with the team we're playing for that respective week's NFL preseason, and let's have live practices. You know, these two teams don't like each other because they don't wear the same jersey. You know, there's already enough testosterone in an average NFL team's practice, all right, alone. But then you add in the fact that, oh, you're not my teammate. You're another team in this league. We definitely don't like you. It gets intense. It gets intense. You know, I read to you the tweet last week when it comes to joint practices between the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans, how J.J. Watt and head coach Matt Patricia got into it.
You got two guys banging.
Yeah. Perfect drop. Perfect drop for that moment, Jack. Yeah, I mean, these guys are banging, you know, every single practice, Jack. You know, it's intense. It's intense. I mean, we're talking more than two guys here. I mean, these rosters are filled with upwards of 70 guys, all right? So these guys are going at it left and right in practice. These are intense situations. And I think that, you know, it's not like Matthew Stafford is sitting out of practice. I mean, he played last week. He got some live reps in. Now, according to reports out there, he didn't play well. I mean, I can go back to the, you know, the tweets that I read that Matthew Stafford in a red zone situation, you know, he threw like, what, two picks in three plays in the red zone. Not great. He's learning a new offense. I understand that. But I think that Matt Patricia is looking at this and saying, we are already very thin at the quarterback position. Matthew Stafford's our franchise guy. He's getting live reps in practice against whatever team we're playing that week. I don't need to see more. And I totally understand that. I totally understand that. So I have no problem. I don't think, Jack, that they should play him this week against the Buffalo Bills, even though you'll see this a lot. Week three is like the final dress rehearsal. It's like, all right, you know, before a big play, this is the final time before we go out there and perform in front of the public, all right? I get that. But every case is different. Every team is different. Every situation is different. I would hold him out until week one of the NFL season, man. What about you?
So you just wouldn't play him at all?
Wouldn't play him, man. There's no need. Because I think the big thing here is these joint practices. I think that these practices, they seem to be very intense. He's getting reps there. I think that Matt Patricia, he's like, you know, he's looking at things and saying, all right, I've seen enough. He's our guy. I don't want anything freakish happening in the NFL preseason to my franchise guy.
Yeah, I'm actually reading what Patricia said right now in regards to his decision to sit Stafford in the game against Houston. And you know what? I'm buying what you're saying. The issue for me will be if the offense doesn't look up to snuff and, you know, it's embarrassing stuff that they're just not able to accomplish out on the field early in the season, I'm going to have an issue with it because Stafford didn't have any type of game reps in the preseason at all. But you know what? It actually makes sense from the standpoint you just mentioned and reading from Patricia because, you know, Stafford is still getting reps, non-contact reps for him, obviously, because he's the quarterback, against, you know, opposing competition. So, no, it actually, from that standpoint, it kind of makes sense to me as well.
It definitely does, man. And, you know, a few takeaways. And I want to look at a few takeaways here from what I saw. Did you watch the game at all, Jack? I don't know if you probably
absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I watched probably about a total of three plays, and I said, all right, let me go and walk the dog.
I got to work for a living, Al. I got bills right, to pay. I can't be watching Lions preseason football.
That's right. They're not paying you to watch the game anyway. So, a few takeaways after I went back, watched some of the highlights, read some of the coverage. I did watch about 40% of the replay on FSD. And here are a few of my takeaways. This is the thing, too. Matt Patricia does not care. When you listen to him after these preseason games, after these first two preseason games, he didn't care about winning the preseason. He could care less. These games are going to be ugly. There's going to be some mistakes here and there. He's not, and this is the thing too. I mean, a lot of head coaches out there, they're not going to give you their scheme for the upcoming season. That would just be stupid. So back to my point, just real briefly, not to harp on this whole Matthew Stafford thing. Even if, Jack, even if you play Matthew Stafford in the preseason, it's not like he's going to be running plays, you know, that this new offense is implementing for the upcoming regular season. So how much do you truly
get out of it? Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
He's not running the scheme that they're running. So that's another thing, too. So keep all that in mind. All right, back to this. Back to my takeaways now. When you listen to Matt Patricia, when he's talking about, you know, what he gets out of this preseason, you know, he's just evaluating guys who are going to be the backup and the backup to the backup and the backup to the backup backup. So especially, it's not just Matthew Stafford, you know, who hasn't seen the field yet. The team is also being very cautious with players coming off of injuries, like a Trey Flowers, like a Mike Daniels, among others. So, you know, and you look at these games, from what I saw, I mean, it's just so bland. It's like the blandest of vanilla that you can get. It really is. It's true vanilla ice cream, man. It's nothing special. No sprinkles, not even one sprinkle on this. It's just, we're gonna run the ball. All right, now we'll just run a simple post route. All right, now run to the flat. You know, it's really simple stuff. So really simple schemes. But I believe that those individual matchups and how players, you know, react in certain situations throughout the game, that's what this coaching staff is evaluating, just like every team in the league is doing around this time of the year. So I'll say this, the offensive line seemed to show life. And I think a lot of people, you know, praise that a bit on social media because, again, the bar is low, though. the bar is really low, Jack, because in week one against the Patriots, it's like how much worse can it get? You know, it just seemed like Lions QBs were running for their lives the entire game. And I saw this sack too, and I said, "Oh, all right." That's when I really just said to myself, "All right, let me walk the dog," because I'm not watching this. The Texans did record a sack on the first drive of the game. Now, I think that was more so on Johnson than the offensive line. But when I saw that, I said, "Oh boy, it's going to be a long, long day." But that was the only sack that Houston recorded until late in the fourth quarter.
Was the person who got the sack's name JJ?
Was it? Was it what?
Or was it Jadeveon? Because in that case, I'm not that worried about it that they gave up one sack in a preseason game against one of those guys.
I honestly can't remember.
Those guys
that.
Make plays. So
yeah, they do. They make plays. I mean, yeah, it's JJ Watt and Clowney. I mean, my goodness, they're beasts. So I don't know if it was one of those two, though. I don't know, because I was like, I had already kind of made up my mind I'm about to walk the dog, so I'm like heading out the door, and I see that, and I'm like, all right, time to go, and I didn't even look to see who made the sack.
But there's no way, though, if you saw it and you thought it was on Kerryon Johnson, because, I mean, there's just no way Kerryon Johnson's going to be matched up with J.J. Watt.
Right, exactly.
Because that's doom and gloom from the start.
It is. That's an unfair matchup, right? But one player who did stand out to many out there was undrafted rookie free agent guard, and I'm probably butchering his name, but Ben Schwowell?
Yeah, the guy from Wisconsin. Bo. Yeah.
Which is how you say his last name?
Bro, I have no
okay,
idea.
Okay, I thought you knew his last name. All right, B-N-Z-S-C-H-A-W-E-L.
I think it's like Ben Schall.
Ben Schall, something like that. Okay, well, Bo, you know, he moved up to the second team due to injuries elsewhere on the line, and he made most of his opportunity. This is coming from Eric Schlitt, who is the editor of the Lions Wire. He made note of this on his Twitter. For Bo's play. Play one, success on double team block. Two, success blocking third tackle. Three, success double? I don't know. I don't even know what that means. Success double. But he notes like five different plays in which Bo was very effective and a handful for Houston. So the run defense looks good. Looks decent. You know, looking at how the Lions, though, enter, you know, that game without their entire starting defensive line, Trey Flowers, you know, Damon Sack, Snacks Harrison, Mike Daniels, and Deshaun Hand. But the Lions completely shut down the Texans' run game. You know, in the first half, the Texans had, 15 carries for just 39 yards. You know, that's just 2.6 yards per carry. That's a 2.6 yards per carry average. Given that the best run-stuffing defensive tackle in the league in Harrison still hasn't played a down this preseason for the Lions, pretty solid. Pretty solid. So I'll give them that. But still no pass rush. So I don't know how much you want to read into that. We'll see. It's still preseason.
Is Trey Flowers playing?
No. No. I did not see Trey Flowers at all. So, yeah, I mean, again, there were doubts. I didn't see Trey, Snacks, Mike, or Deshaun.
Deshaun Hand didn't play either?
No.
Okay, so, I mean, who's going to generate the pass rush at that point? Romeo Okwara.
That's what I'm saying.
That's about it.
Yeah, Romeo Okwara. He had a few nice rushes.
I think he had a sack, didn't he, yesterday in the game?
I have to look that up. But when looking on social media, there were a lot of people tweeting about Romeo Okwara and how good he looked. I mean, also, how about the Lions showing some faith in Jelani Tavai? You know, I did see this when it came to, like, the extended version. They showed how they put the green dot on Tavai's helmet. Now, the green dot is for anybody who's calling out the defensive plays. And, like, Tavai was holding his own out there. You know, the Lions threw him to the deep side of the pool, and he said, all right, I can swim. You know, he did a great job calling plays. He was involved in some key plays defensively. And, you know, he seems to be a young leader. So, and again, that's a lot of responsibility for a rookie in a live situation. And he was active in the run game, looked good in coverage, had himself a solid night. And also, Jalen Reeves-Maben getting a lot of great reviews in his first two games with the Detroit Lions. He was all over the field. He made plays. I saw in both the run and the pass game. Had a big hit as well on Saturday night. So, those two looked really, really good. Now,
from what I've heard, Jelani Tavai's a lot like Jared Davis, though, and that kind of worries me, where he can play downhill, but against better competition, he struggles in coverage.
And didn't we kind of hear the same thing when it came to Davis
exactly
in the preseason?
Yes.
Like, he's a young leader, and he's swarming all over the field. And then now, again, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, you know, and every player is a little different. So we'll see what happens with Jelani. But he looked good. I will say he looked good. On Saturday night.
And Jared Davis isn't terrible.
No, he's not.
He has his strengths and he has his weaknesses, and his weaknesses are very noticeable.
Right, very noticeable. And, you know, what we saw when he came into training camp and what we saw in the preseason, we really thought he was going to have a big year, and he just hasn't lived up to that. So we'll see what happens, though. But those are just a few of my takeaways from what I saw in very limited visibility when it comes to the Lions and the Texans on Saturday night. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, I could care less if Matthew Stafford did not play these next two final preseason games. What say you? You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News and also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. When we come back, we'll talk some Michigan State football as meet the Spartans takes place later on this evening inside of Spartan Stadium. We'll be right back. Beautiful people, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It is Monday. Hopefully you guys are starting off the week productive. I do want to pass along, if you didn't hear last week, I will be out. I'll be going overseas from the 22nd, so this Thursday, until next week Monday. All right, so Thursday I'll be out, and I'll be back on the air on the 27th, next week Tuesday. So engineers Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, and Connor Mathis, they'll be holding down the fort while I'm out. I'll be overseas in Puerto Rico celebrating 10 years in my fraternity. Shout out to all the bros out there of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. 10 years in the game with my, as we call it, here's fraternity talk, Sands, those that you crossed the burning sands with that year. We're going to celebrate out in Puerto Rico, so it should be a good time. I've never been to Puerto Rico. Never been. So hopefully it's a good time. Looking forward to it. All right. So I want to shift gears now.
Well, you do realize Puerto Rico is still America, right? You do know that? Yes. It's an American territory.
What do you mean by that?
It's an American territory. It's not a state, but Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I had no idea. Yeah. I'm not like a social studies buff.
Yeah.
You know, I did not. I had no idea, Jack.
Yeah, it's an American territory.
It's not.
So you're not leaving the country.
Really?
Not technically.
So technically, I'm
no.
not leaving the country.
No.
Wow. Interesting. Learn something new every day, man. You got to learn something new every day. And thank you. Look at Jack Irwin, man, bringing the knowledge, dude. All right.
You made it sound like you were going to like a whole other part
like
of the
China.
World. It's still America, dude.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of our listeners like, oh, yeah, that's out of the country. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it's probably.
I need my passport.
Do you?
Yeah, I need my passport. I had to like call and confirm that with American Airlines.
You're, like, you're yeah. sure you need a passport to go to Puerto Rico?
I called them last week, and they said, yeah, make sure you bring your passport. So, yeah, Google that. I don't know why they would tell me. Maybe that guy was just like me and thought, oh, yeah, you need your passport. You're going overseas. I don't know. So Google that, Jack.
No, you don't need a passport to go to Puerto Rico.
Really?
No.
Well, that guy was clueless like me. All right.
So, yeah, the only other place in the Caribbean is the U.S. Virgin Islands, which is another American territory that you do not need. That if you're a citizen, you don't need a passport to go to.
Interesting. Wow, I did not know that. Okay. All right. we're getting a comment on our Facebook page. Lisa says, palms face at Puerto Rico /U.S. comment. Because that's the thing. When you hear Puerto Rico, you think, oh, yeah, I mean, it's out of the dang United States of America. You know what I mean? So you're going out of the country. So, all right. But anyway, that's where I'll be. So if you don't hear my voice Thursday, Friday, and next week, Monday, that you know why.
All I have right. a conspiracy that they haven't made Puerto Rico a state because, like, it's so neat that we have 50 states. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
50 stars on the flag and all that. And if you go to 51, that's just kind of weird. So I feel like that's part of the reason we haven't made Puerto Rico a state, to be honest.
You'd have to change a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah. And, like, 50 is just such a perfect number.
Yeah. And you know, like, English isn't their primary language over there, right? You know,
I don't know about that. I mean, they probably have two official languages, probably English
right.
and Spanish. So.
I'm pretty sure, though, I'm going to have to be very specific about when I order. You know, if I want some wings, like, I have to, like, hey, you know, I don't know. It's not, but again, you think of Puerto Rico, you don't think, oh, yeah, it's part of the United States of America. Only Jack. Jack is just filled with knowledge. Man.
No, I don't know about that. I feel like most people know Puerto Rico is an American country or American territory,
Chris,
bro.
Chris had to look it up. It's part of the USA. Just looked it up. See, I did not know that. I had no idea. All right. Now to Meet the Spartans real briefly here. You know, Meet the Spartans is always a cool event because, you know, it's an opportunity for you guys. You know, it's kind of like Midnight Madness where you get a chance to just get up close and personal with these players. Really, the only time you get a chance to before the season starts. You know, so if you want to shake these guys' hands and, you know, talk to them a bit, maybe while they're signing your Spartan helmet that you have in your man cave or your Michigan State football poster, you know, if you got little Spartan fans that want to take a picture, this is the only time you get a chance to do that. So take advantage of it. Again, today starting at 5 o'clock from 5 to 8 p.m. inside of Spartan Stadium, you'll get a chance to see all the players, all the assistant coaches shake their hand as they sign stuff for you. Offensive players will be available for autographs from 5:30 to 6:30. Defensive players from 6:30 to 7:30. And Coach D will be available at that same time from 6:30 to 7:30 at the north end of the stadium in the Engagement Center. That's between Gates J and K. That's where Coach D will be. That kind of rhymes. You know, you want to get an autograph from Coach D, go to Gates J and K. J and K, really simple to remember, all right? And autograph stations will be positioned in the east, west, and north concourses. And in years past, the way they've also set it up is you can go on the field and you can take a picture with, you know, Sparty. You can also, you know, mix and mingle with the Michigan State cheerleaders. And also, I this is what they've done in years past. Even though this isn't on there and doesn't read this, but, you know, in years past, they've also allowed you to go up to the press box and you can actually go on the mic and call a famous Spartan play like, you know, oh, yeah, trouble with the snap, you know, and try your hand at that. So it's just a really cool event, and it definitely whets your appetite when it comes to the college football year being right around the corner for Michigan State football. So And you know what? Michigan State, when it comes to the preseason rankings, just briefly, Jack, do you have a problem at all with Michigan State being ranked in the coaches poll at number 20? And again, the coaches poll is like the weakest of all of them, right? Because these coaches aren't like every week. They're watching tape of whatever that matchup is for that week. I think that the SIDs are the ones who phone in.
Oh, yeah, no. You know the coaches don't fill out the coaches poll. Right. They have like an intern do
they
it, to be honest with
you. Intern or maybe the head SID, maybe Ben Flieger at Michigan State or Matt Larson, somebody like that, you know, puts in, you know, their thoughts on the coaches poll. But they're not sitting there slaving and watching, oh, what happened this week in that matchup? No, they're not. That's why it's the weakest. It's not a really hardcore evaluation. Maybe in the preseason one. I don't know. Maybe in the preseason one. But Michigan State being number 20 in the preseason college coaches poll, I think that's pretty good, man. That's pretty awesome because in my eyes, I think that Michigan State being ranked 20, knowing how bad this offense was last season, shows that there are a lot of coaches out there that still look at Michigan State in high regard, still respect the program, and know that Michigan State is a team that is known for turnarounds after bad years, after years in which they, how should I put it, underachieve. So Michigan State being 20 here was actually quite a surprise to me, Jack. You have a problem with that?
Al, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even going to address the coaches poll. I'll just say that MSU was ranked 18th in the AP poll because that's a real poll.
That's where I was going next, the AP poll. They're 18th in the AP poll, which is even more surprising.
Let's put it this way,
Al. My goodness.
I wouldn't have ranked them that high. I wouldn't have ranked them 20th either. I don't think I would have even had them ranked, you know, after they lose six games last season and they're supposedly implementing a new offensive system. You know, I got to see it to believe it. So,
Would you have ranked Michigan State football then? If not 18, if not 20, where would you?
I don't think I would have had him in the top 25, to be honest with you.
It's like you're looking at my. That's where I was going as well. I would not even have had Michigan State football in the top 25, folks. And the fact that they're 18 and 20 in the preseason AP top 25 and preseason coaches poll is. That's pretty awesome.
And you know what? It's a crime to say that we would have MSU unranked when you look at the personnel they have on that defense, though.
Right, okay, yeah, exactly, because that defense, and that's the thing.
I think that's good.
That's why they're ranked so high.
Yeah, they're holding the water for the team for sure.
They definitely are. They're holding down the fort for this squad right now. And, again, we have to see how this offense is going to perform. We all know that, and we'll be previewing Michigan State football in the coming days leading up to that first game against Tulsa. When it comes to the Michigan Wolverines, as many are picking the Michigan Wolverines to win, still blows my mind, to win.
What could possibly go wrong there?
Right? Exactly, Jack. To win the Big Ten this year.
Wait, Michigan, the Big Ten or the national championship? Or just both?
There's some that are choosing them to win.
15-0?
Right, I know, 15-0.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Go all the way, Michigan, right? They're both 7. Well, Michigan is 7 in both the AP Top 25 and the Coaches Poll. So, and I'll just read the top 10 right now. In the AP Top 25, Clemson is number 1, Alabama 2, 3 Georgia, 4 Oklahoma, 5 Ohio State, 6 LSU, 7 Michigan. So you have Ohio State ranked above Michigan in both the preseason AP Top 25 and the preseason Coaches Poll. So 6 LSU, 7 Michigan, 8 Florida, 9 Notre Dame, 10 Texas. In the Coaches Poll, number 1 Clemson, 2 Alabama, 3 Georgia, 4 Oklahoma, 5 Ohio State, 6 LSU, 7 Michigan, 8 Florida, 9 Notre Dame, 10 Texas. So there are literally no difference. There's literally no difference between the AP Top 25 and the coaches poll when it comes to the top 10.
So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Who is more likely to live up to the hype in your mind this year, Michigan or Texas?
That's because
every single year we hear about both teams.
They're both back. And you know, Texas being in the top 10, and they haven't done anything in a long, long time, man. Let me think about that one. I may address that tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll address that tomorrow.
So I won't give you my answer then either yet.
Yeah, we'll dive into it. We can probably start tomorrow's show diving into that because we're going to start with some college football talk right off the bat tomorrow. We'll have some interviews with some players that we'll be rolling in to start tomorrow's show as well. So let's hit our final break, though. When we come back, we'll close out things with weekend winners. All right, ladies and gents, boys and girls, we have just about, 3 minutes left here in the hour, and we close out each and every Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports by hitting you with weekend winners. Who had the best weekend in sports and beyond? Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, Jack, I've got three weekend winners here. Number one, I want to give a big shout out to Steph Curry, who announced today that he will financially support Howard University's golf program, bringing back golf to Howard University, which is a historical black college or university, HBCU. It's in Washington, D.C., and he plans to have men's and women's teams in place for 2020 and 2021. Awesome stuff. Awesome, awesome stuff. I'm going to expound on more on that story later on tomorrow.
That's where Gus Johnson went.
Yeah, Gus, the great Gus from your high school.
And my high school, yeah. People forget that. UAD Jesuit.
Right, UAD Jesuit. Also, Stipe Miocic for that fourth-round KO of Daniel Cormier. And I think, you know, all this talk about Cormier possibly retiring, I don't think he can retire now. He wants some revenge. And I think Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier Part 3 will do numbers and bring in a lot of money as well, just like the previous two fights did. And also, Kirk Cousins. It's your birthday today, man. August 19, 1988. On this day, 31 years ago, Kirk Cousins was born, one of the greatest quarterbacks in Michigan State football history. Now, of course, American quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. All right. Well, that does it for this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We'll talk some Antonio Brown, talk some college football, that and more. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.